Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about something that is a newer, relatively newer phenomenon, or a new manifestation of a classic concern.
Right.
How about that? That was pretty good.
I wondered how
that was just off the fly.
Yeah. We have to talk very carefully.
Right.
We're going to talk very carefully about this because we're going to be talking about sex in a way.
And, you know, I did that. I mentioned before that I was happened to sit on that forum not long ago talking about this issue with middle school students. But it's the issue of sexting.
Right.
And the reason that we're going to talk about, and this is a great article called Dangers in Child Sex Tech Communications.
Sex Tech Communications.
And it's written by Dr. John Churban. Right. And this was from Psychology Today. So the links will be in the show notes. But the first sentence gets you, right? Sex always finds its way into cutting-edge modes of communication. And that's why...
If you're a parent, please hear that.
Yeah.
Sex
always finds its way.
Is finding its way. You know, like Jurassic Park, nature finds a way.
Right. Okay.
Sex finds... Movie.
That was a good movie.
Okay.
That was good.
Sex always finds a way into technology.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the technology is.
Whether the technology is printed paper or the technology is your iPhone.
Years ago, you'd go... Did you ever hear of a penny arcade? It'd be in a history book somewhere for you.
Oh, I heard about that.
Drop a penny in the thing, and you turn this crank, and it's a series of still photos that animates.
Yeah.
And there's...
What do they call it? Phone? No.
There's photo... Phone, something like that. Anyway, sex found its way into all these mechanical devices when they came out in penny arcades, and you'd watch these little things, and the kids would go put a penny in, and you could watch this dancer or somebody undressing or something. So sex always finds a way.
Right.
If your children have an iPhone, if your children have a smartphone or an iPad or a computer...
The risk is there.
It's there. It is there. Don't think that it isn't. And,
right.
And... Please, I suppose there are kids out there who don't look at sex pictures.
Sure.
But
we are.
Please be aware that it's probably going to be a phase of every child's life.
Right.
That they're going to, at least out of curiosity.
Right.
Not out of mental health. At least out of curiosity, they're going to go in and look at that stuff.
Right, right. And so you have to talk to them about it.
Right.
Those kind
and you
of
have to be aware of it. And you have to be able to talk about it.
Now, the idea of sexting in adolescence is a concern, though, not because of the developmental inappropriateness of it,
right?
But for the legal implications of it.
That's where this stopped me in my tracks,
right?
Okay, because we tend to worry about what effect it's having on it. I've had parents come in. Well, they were young kids. They were, I think, 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were kindergarten kids.
Right.
And one of the parents had used the iPad and had downloaded some sexually explicit material, and the kids eventually found it. I mean, they weren't looking for it,
right.
But as they were cruising through the iPad, they stumbled on this, and the mother went, are they scarred for life because they saw it? No, they're not. But that's we're worried about what effect it's having on the kids. You know, will they become sexual predators? Will it ruin their adult sex life? This article stopped me in my tracks because we typically don't think of these consequences.
Right. Yeah, and this seems to be, you know, the legal implications seem to be really some of the stuff that we hear about in the news as it relates to them. Because, again, you know, the my two experiences sort of in community-based forums with this was at that middle school that I was talking about a moment ago, but then about a year ago or so, I had the chance to be interviewed on a news channel.
I came here
because of a similar issue in another middle school in one of the counties nearby, and talking about
the normality of it, the abnormality of it, and what parents should do and everything. And so, and again, the whole thing is that, you know, if a teenager, if a 16-year-old sends some explicit image to another 16-year-old, that's contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That's the, you know, issues related to, you know, child pornography. There are some massive, massive implications because of the way the legal system works and because of the way that our system is set up right now.
The scariest part about this is that most of us don't know that these laws are on the books.
Right.
Okay. We know some because we deal with it mm-hmm. in our practice. Mm-hmm. But most parents, teenagers definitely don't.
Right.
But
right.
most parents are not aware of the profound legal implications mm-hmm. of sexting.
Right.
Unfortunately, kids continue to think that this is all done in private.
Right.
None of it's done in private.
Which is really
just
difficult to believe at times, because if anyone is an expert as it relates to this stuff, it should be the teenager.
Kids. Right.
Mm-hmm. But yet they
don't continue get it. To believe. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I think part of the problem is we have to remember that we have a new batch of teenagers every year. We have
right.
a new crop every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the new crop that they take this stuff for granted and they think they understand it, but they really don't.
Right.
The 16 and 17-year-olds are starting to.
Mm-hmm.
But the 10, 11, and 12-year-olds really don't know
right.
that it is in private. You know, their friends say, well, you can put it on Snapchat and it disappears.
Right.
Or you can put it on Instagram
right.
and it disappears. And they say, oh, okay, then I'm safe.
Right. Not really.
You're impulsive enough at 12 to send a nude picture or a mm-hmm. scantily clad picture of yourself, but you, at age 12, aren't aware of the legal implications of doing something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, so it is an issue. And I think that there's a couple of messages that we need to give parents as it relates to this. One is that it is a serious issue. You have to be cautious. You have to be mindful of what your kids are doing. Not that you want to, like, freak out.
No.
You know, you don't want mm-hmm. to, like, that's it. You can't have a phone anymore.
No.
Delete all your social media accounts.
Right.
That's it. You're done. No more.
And parental controls and all that. I mean, you can do all that if you want, but it's not going to stop them because
right.
they'll just get a phone from somebody else.
Right.
It's look at it.
Yeah.
There's a, if it's okay with you.
Go ahead.
There's a story in here about two boys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
That story. I think it's okay to use their names, right?
He does.
Okay. This is the scariest thing I've ever read.
Yeah. Yeah. So these two boys send each other messages.
Yeah, they're 14 years old.
Right.
Okay.
And one of them was a photo of a girl.
Yeah. A girl in their class exposing a breast.
Mm-hmm.
There was a photo. And neither one of them saw it as a big deal.
Right.
Okay. Didn't think about deleting it. They're in eighth grade and they're passing this stuff around. And it wasn't a big deal for them.
Right.
Okay. 14 years old.
Yeah.
All right. And because that's the way 14-year-olds think.
Sure.
Okay. Even if it wasn't exciting and titillating, it was.
Yeah,
it's no big deal. I mean, it happens all the time.
Right.
It's what we do.
Okay? Right. And so these boys. So the long story short is, these people find out about it.
Yeah. Somehow somebody found out
these
about it.
These boys' phones are confiscated. They see it in there. They see that they sent it to each other, and now they're charged with trafficking child pornography.
Yeah,
because the girl was 13 years old.
Right. It turned out the photo was taken by another student.
Right.
Okay. But it was a 13-year-old girl, right? Of his 13-year-old girlfriend.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff happens.
Right.
Okay. That photo then was sent to these two boys.
Right.
I would consider them innocent.
Right.
You know? And they never gave it a thought because they weren't involved in it. And then, to the shock of the boys and their families, authorities initially said they were weighing whether to charge the teens and four other boys who had received the photo with trafficking in child pornography.
Right. Yeah.
14-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Receive it from a friend.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think anything of it. They could be facing charges of trafficking in child pornography, which would have made them sex offenders for how long?
Life.
Life.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we talk about the consequences of it, that's what we're talking about. Man. That the consequences are pretty significant. And we have to make sure that we're communicating that to our kids, that our kids know what to do if they receive some of these things. And we talked about that a lot in that forum that I participated in because, you know, again, our model is you don't freak out about that stuff. You say, okay, well, you know, this was an inappropriate picture. We need to talk to somebody. We need to follow a procedure that we're going to deal with it. But you can't, there's no reason to punish these boys. There was no reason to punish them. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't know.
There was no intent.
Right. And even if they had received it but then deleted it, you know, because there are the ideal scenario is that, you know, you get something like that and you say, you know, you tell somebody, you tell your parent or somebody something about it. Not that I would completely expect a 14-year-old just to do that, but that's the ideal scenario. But these guys, you know, as you said, it was whatever, you know?
So innocent. And then when you think about the statistics, you know, they've done some studies where they said 39% of kids this age have received, and 48%, half of all of them, have shared information. You know, they get a picture and they send it to what they believe is a good friend.
Right.
Okay? Because that's the way teenagers think of each other. Oh, I can trust her or I can trust him.
Right.
So I'm going to send it to him. So 48%, almost half of all teenagers, receive and send sexually explicit material.
Right.
So, you're going to make half the population sex offenders?
Right.
Okay. But the laws are on the books.
Yeah.
Okay. So, two messages here. Your kids are probably doing it.
Right.
Okay, because half are. Okay, right. So if I have four kids, two are and two aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... So, please be careful because it is happening.
Right.
But don't freak out about it.
Right.
Because there really isn't much you can do except educate your children.
Right.
This is another one of those places where please educate your children to the possible legal consequences of this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The other thing that that it points out is there are gender differences, there are sex-based differences in why kids share.
Okay,
boys do it because they find it either exciting or humorous.
Mm-hmm,
okay, you can imagine these boys sitting there saying, "Ooh, wow, that's really cool," or "Haha, look at this."
Right.
So, girls share and provide these pictures for social acceptance.
Right.
So just like with aggression, just like, you know, boys are physically aggressive, girls are socially aggressive, we have this sex-based difference.
Right.
With they do it for different reasons,
right,
but they're both doing it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I'll be awfully cautious. This really did stop me in my tracks because I thought, wow, could you imagine? I mean, the authorities can ruin a 14-year-old's life.
Right.
You know, even an innocent 14-year-old.
Right.
In this case, they chose not to.
Right.
But they could have.
Right.
It's scary.
Yeah. So you have to, it's all about education. It's all about listening and being available and your child knowing that you're available. If you've been listening to the podcast on 13 Reasons Why that we've been doing.
Because that happened to her.
We talk a lot about about how parents should handle some of these kinds of situations with, you know, the nature of your relationship with your child is so important. So,
you have to be able to talk to them.
Yeah. And they have to be able to talk to you without concern or fear. Anxiety.
Yeah, this is one of those things, you know, parents want to come crashing down. I have friends who can say, I have to shut it off. I have to take it away. I have to do this. No, you have to talk to your kids, and you have to build trust, and you have to educate them about how to use these devices.
Right.
If you take it away and take these real drastic measures, you're probably going to make things worse.
Right. And the last thing I think that we should say, and I don't think that it's necessarily specific in this article, is you also don't want to overreact.
No.
You know, if you have a teenager, 15, 16, 17-year-old, who is posting pictures on Snapchat and Instagram and things like that, who are keeping their clothes on, but you know, if you view the pictures as somewhat provocative or something because of the pose or because of whatever, you don't want to overreact in those situations.
Right.
You know, if you look through Instagram, if you look through something, that is how teenagers pose. That is, you're going to see thousands of examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say, oh, you're being sexual, oh, you're being provocative, they're going to become very defensive, and they're going to not listen to you. They're going to shut you off, and then you're going to be at risk of them doing things without you knowing.
Right.
And so you need to have a conversation about, you know, what you're comfortable with the limits being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can take an image like that, but let's not do it this way, or let's not do it that way. Let's talk about why you're taking those kinds of pictures, what you're looking for why you're taking those kinds of pictures. And again, just communicate and talk with your child instead of punishing and demanding and doing that stuff.
You know, another way to think of it is the same way you think about, excuse me, your children's clothing, particularly girls' clothing. I can remember having a discussion with one of my teenage daughters when she was a young teen, maybe 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, these little cut-off, you know, they would go halfway down your midriff, and then you had their belly button and all that was showing. And I suggested to her that that was a little provocative, and she thought it was silly. She said, just what people wear.
Right.
For her, it was a clothing style.
Right.
For me, it was sexually provocative.
Right.
Okay? And not just because I'm a dad, but because I'm a guy and I know how guys, we all know how guys think. And she was probably 13 or 14. She's now a young adult. And now she's saying the same thing about clothing styles. And I think we can approach phones the same way.
Right.
That to these kids, it seems completely normal.
Right.
Like these two boys, they said, what's the big deal?
Right.
You know, because to them, it's just a style. It's just, this is what happens. And they don't realize, like my daughter didn't realize at 13 that some men are going to find that exciting and provocative, and which puts her in danger.
Right.
Okay. And these kids, and we have to think of these cell phones the way we think about clothing.
Right.
For the kids, no big deal.
Right.
For us, it's a big deal.
Right. So we got to be cautious not to project our feelings about it onto them, and believe that that's their intent.
That's right. That's right.
Because it's their intent that we're really getting at them about. Well, you're doing this to look sexy. You're doing this to be provocative.
People pose. You know, Facebook has taught people how to pose in sexual ways in pictures. I mean, I'm sorry.
What some people, some adults view as sexual.
That's right.
And that they don't necessarily view as sexual.
They don't view it that way. That's just how you, that's how you smile now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So
be careful with these things, but again, teaching rather than overreacting or punishing. Don't reach for the punishment stick. Talk to your kids.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that is it for today.
Right.
We should have put a little warning at the beginning of this that we're going to say the word sex a lot.
Well, I spelled it out.
You did.
Then I forgot.
You did. So hopefully people got the cue.
Yeah.
All right. But that's it for today. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.